Good morning, girls and boys. It is a pleasure, as ever, to be with you and to see your smiling faces. Let's turn to John's Gospel, chapter 19, and we're looking at the verse 28. This is our final study. I say that recognizing that I might get liberty and end up only getting halfway through what I planned to say and ending up then again with another final study of this verse, but I don't think that will happen. I say it just in case it does happen. Let's read the verse once more. Verse 28 of John chapter 19. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. As I said, this is, I hope, our final study of this verse. I trust that it has been a benefit to you as we have considered this little brief statement by the Lord. It's only one word, as I've emphasized, in the Greek language in which the New Testament was written. But when it's translated into the English, you end up with two words. I thirst. Now, in this final study, I wish to emphasize the absolute importance of the Holy Scriptures to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's in the verse. Look at it. It says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled, saith. So, to the very end of his sufferings on the cross, the Savior was conscious of the Scriptures and determined to fulfill everything that prophecy said would take place at Calvary. Now, if you look down to verse 30, you read there, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished, and bowed his head and gave up the ghost. That surrendering by the Savior to death, bringing on his own death, we'll talk about that when we come to another study, that must have happened only seconds after he said, I thirst. Only seconds. A very short interval between him saying, I thirst, and him dying. The point I want you to notice is, why would he even bother, since he was about to die, taking a drink? The drink of water would do him little good and bring little benefit to him, because there was only a short time before he died. It had hardly, if I might put it like this, the liquid had hardly reached his stomach before he died. Now, when you take a drink of water, it takes a while for the benefits of your drinking of that water to reach out into your body and satisfy your thirst, etc. So, why did the Savior bother saying, I thirst, and then taking a drink? He did that, as it says in our verse, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. That's why he took the drink, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. I'm emphasizing, as I say, in this final study, the absolute importance of the Scriptures to the Lord Jesus Christ. Before he died, he knew there was a prophecy concerning him thirsting and taking a drink, and so he was determined to fulfill that prophecy. And we're going to think of the importance of God's precious word, not only to the Lord Jesus, but in looking at that, we see an example of how the Scriptures ought to be important to us. Ought to be important to us. I read Luke chapter 18 on Saturday past, and I came on this verse, the verse 31, in which we read, then he took unto him the 12, and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem. So, this was the final visit to Jerusalem. Calvary was drawing very, very near. He was only days away from his crucifixion. And he's saying to the disciples, all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. You see how he was thinking? That everything in the Bible relating to his death on the cross would be fulfilled. And that's why he said the words, I thirst. Because it had been prophesied that on the cross he would thirst. And so the Savior uttered those words in order that he might fulfill the scriptures. They were very important to him. And I want each one of you today to recognize that to be faithful to God, to please God, we likewise ought to have a desire to make this book absolutely important in our lives. The chief book, the chief source of instruction and comfort and direction and hope. When you leave school and go out to work, you'll find many demanding that you listen to them for direction and do what they say is the right thing. But you remember this, the Bible is the map that you follow. It's the only source of right instruction. The world will give you instruction, but it's wrong instruction if it is not in accord with the Word of God. Let's first of all then notice the Savior was fully acquainted with the Scriptures. He couldn't keep the prophecies if there were prophecies he was ignorant of. Then as a person has been stopped by the police, and the police have said, you were doing wrong. What was it doing? And the police man has said, here's what you were doing. And the person has said, I didn't know that was wrong. But that's no excuse. The Lord Jesus was fully acquainted with everything the Bible said and prophecy had stated regarding his death upon the cross. He was fully acquainted. That's what the verse says. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he had knowledge of everything the Word of God had to say about him and his death on the cross. That's not surprising, because one of the titles of the Lord Jesus is the Word of God. Were you to quickly turn back to the very beginning of John's Gospel, to the chapter 1 of John's Gospel, you will read there at the beginning, in the very beginning of John's Gospel, the verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's the Lord Jesus that is here being spoken of. As the verse 14 tells us, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, the title of the Lord Jesus given here at the beginning of John's Gospel is the Word. It's not surprising, therefore, that he knew everything that was in the Word. He was the Word, the living Word, and he was fully acquainted with everything that was in the written Word. Way back at the dawn of time, in Genesis chapter 3 and the verse 8, we read these words, the voice of the Lord God was heard by Adam and Eve walking in the garden and calling unto them, Adam, where art thou? The voice of the Lord was a title for the Lord Jesus. It was the Lord Jesus walking in the garden of Eden, calling after Adam and Eve. So there is this emphasis upon Christ being the Word of God, and therefore he was well acquainted with the Holy Scriptures. The second thing I want you to notice is that this being so, he could do nothing but fulfill all that he himself had said. He was fulfilling on the cross what he himself had said. He's the author of the Bible. And therefore, he is fulfilling what he had said regarding his undertaking of the redemption of his people. From a human viewpoint, We are told at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, and you know this verse very well, I think I've referred to it on other occasion. In Luke chapter 2, the verse 52, we read that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man. There he was, a boy, the age of some of you here, at this particular time. And it says he was increasing in wisdom, as well as growing. Body was growing physically, and he was increasing in wisdom. Now, I realize, boys and girls, and I'll try to avoid confusing you, that the Lord Jesus, even while a boy of 12, was God manifest in the flesh. He took upon himself a human body, and a human body that, just like all human bodies, grew from a baby to manhood. But all the time that process was taking place, from being a little baby to a man, there was united to that human body the eternal Godhead of the second person of the Trinity. And everything is known to God. Everything is known to God. So in one sense, the Lord Jesus always knew everything because he was God. But looking at it from a human point of view, there as a boy of 12, he was growing in wisdom. I freely acknowledge that I can't put into words what it means for the one who knew everything at the same time to be growing in wisdom. Other than to tell you, we're looking at the Lord Jesus from a human point of view. And as a boy, he was taking in knowledge. Chiefly, he would have been learning from the Bible. The Lord Jesus, from his earliest days, would have been reading the Bible. He would have been reading the Bible. Reading the prophecies that are set down in the Scriptures regarding himself. And that's why on the cross it says, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, he knew that all that had been said about him by the prophets were now fulfilled by him on the cross. He had acquainted himself with the Holy Scriptures. The Lord Jesus, as I say, grew in body, the faculties of his soul were opened up. Even as we pray for you, that your mind might be opened up to receive the teaching and the instruction that you receive in school. Like the whiteboard. It used to be called a blackboard when I was at school, because it was a blackboard upon which the teacher wrote in white chalk. But now you have a whiteboard on which the teacher writes with a black marker. But just like the whiteboard receiving the marks of the martyr. So we are praying that your mind will receive the instruction that comes from the Scriptures. That your mind will receive it. A mark will be left upon you. That it will not be forgotten or ignored. But it really will make an impression upon you, just like it was with the Lord Jesus. He was receiving, as a boy, instruction and was taught the Word of God. And thus he grew in wisdom. He grew in wisdom. I want you to remember that, you young ones. Remember that. That you are where the Lord Jesus was long, long ago. You're under instruction. He was under instruction. His mother would have taught him. Godly men in the synagogue would have taught him, because we recall how on that visit to Jerusalem when he was 12 years of age, and the parents went off carelessly and left him behind and didn't check that he was with them in the great crowd of pilgrims who were returning home. And it was only at the end of the first day's journey they began to look for him and realized he's not with us, and went back, and it took them 3 days to find him where they had left him, in the temple. And there he was talking with the doctors of the law, the men who were instructed and taught in the law of God. And there he was. That, I believe, is a part of what we are to understand by the Savior growing in wisdom. He was there listening, for it says he was answering and asking questions. He was involved in a discussion in the temple and taking in instruction. So it was then, the Lord Jesus was well acquainted with the Scriptures. He not only was the author from a divine point of view, but he also was a student from a human point of view. And I want to say to you today, as we conclude our study, that if we are to live as the Savior lived, to the pleasing of his Father, we must acquaint ourselves with what the Bible says. He began his 3-year ministry with his baptism when it was announced by his Father from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And to the very end of his ministry and his dying on the cross, in everything he pleased his Father. And if we're to do that, then, like the Lord Jesus, we must acquaint ourselves with what the Bible says and live according to the Scriptures. He died carefully fulfilling everything the Scripture said about his dying, in order, it says, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, he said. Just one word, as I told you in the Greek, just one word. But he was thus fulfilling the Holy Scriptures. And in everything we say, and in everything we do, we should endeavor to do it according to God's word. How wonderfully this is set out for us in that wonderful Psalm 119. We read there in the verses 9 to 11 these words. "Wherewithal shall a young man," and since it was a man that was writing, the reference is to a man. But that doesn't mean we can't say, "Wherewithal shall a young woman?" It's for the ladies too. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" Being sinners, we're always in need of cleansing. Well, how are we to accomplish that? "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Living in obedience to God's word, in submission to God's word, will result in a clean life. The psalm goes on, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." Oh, that's what we do. Prone to wander. Lord, I know it. I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. I've often thought of those words and recognized that in a wonderful way, the hymn writer had summed up the contradiction that we find within the Christian life. Wandering away from the God we love. We have within us a nature that loves God, but we have also an old nature that is prone to wander. And we're battling that all the time, resisting that wandering instinct all the time. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. How do we do that? "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." That's how we stop the wandering. We hide God's word in our heart. We make it part of our being. We make it part of the guidance system that governs our life. We live by the word of God. That's Psalm 119, verses 9 to 11. 1 John chapter 3 tells us in the verse 22 how to live a life of victory. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." I am telling you now the path that leads to total and wonderful and lasting success, happiness, peace. Here it is. Live by the Word of God, and in life you will know God's blessing, and in eternity you will spend it with Him. The secret of life, I'm telling it to you. I'm telling it to you. It's keeping the Word of God. Well, boys and girls, time's up. We'll be moving on in the will of the Lord in our next study to the next saying of the Lord Jesus on the cross. But let's bring our gathering now to a close. O God, our Heavenly Father, I pray that it will please Thee to bless to the hearts of boys and girls here Thy glorious truth. I cannot do that, Lord. I can't even fully explain many of the things that are in the Bible. But Lord, we thank Thee for the blessed Holy Ghost, who is able to open up the Scriptures and open up our hearts to the Scriptures and give us understanding. Lord, do that for these ones here. O Lord Jesus, even as Thou didst grow in wisdom, may that take place amongst our children here, to the glory of Thy name. Bless our school today in all matters, we pray, to Thy glory. Amen. Amen.